It's more than just another radio show. It's a beacon of truth. Fasten your seatbelt and find out why they call Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the Dynamic Deacon. Join Deacon Harold for a fast-paced hour that sheds encouraging light on today's culture. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
And welcome to a very special edition of Beacon of Truth. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm H. McKay. As Deacon Harold continues to travel, we like to bring you these live events so you get some of his great nuggets, his dynamic teaching in moments where then when you see him live, you know exactly what you are getting. And you know the treats of what come from the stories and the vulnerability, but also his beacon of truth that he continues to take wherever he speaks. So we get to do that today as we head to the Steubenville Conference, talking about the Beatitudes as a roadmap to holiness. That's our topic for today on a very special edition of Beacon of Truth.
The book of Daniel starts off, so I'm going to basically walk through Daniel's chapter 1 through 3. And this is how I came up with this talk. During the pandemic when I was home and couldn't travel like everybody else, I started spending more time in books of the Bible that I normally didn't spend a lot of time in. One of them was the book of Daniel. So as I was reading through Daniel, I noticed, holy cow, the stuff that happened back then during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian exile, are the same things that are happening in our culture today. And I started seeing parallels. So that's what this talk is about, looking at what happened back then and what's happening now and what happened then, and how we can learn and benefit from what those three young men did today in our culture. So it starts off in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Now, why would God do that? The Israelites are the chosen people. They were the ones that were handpicked, selected by God to be the witnesses and example of God's love to all the other pagan nations around them. So when the pagan nations saw the Israelites, that's God's people. That was the idea. But here's the problem. The Israelites got a little bit too comfortable with the other pagan nations around them. They started adopting pagan ways of thinking and pagan ways of worshiping. And so we look at our culture today, right? We know that the Catholic Church is the church founded by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? We all know that's true. In fact, if you don't believe me, ask Siri. Siri will tell you. Seriously, I did that once at an airport, and I freaked the person out. But the problem is we have become too comfortable with all the pagan ideas and the pagan nations around us. And so what God is saying is this: well, if you don't want me to rule over you, then Babylon will. And that's what's happening in our culture today. You don't want me to be your God? You don't want to be my people? Let me be your God? Fine. You have free will. I love you. You're free to say yes, or you're free to say no. And if you want me to rule over you, fine, then Babylon will. And what's the problem with that today? For far too long, we Catholics have been filled with a spirit of apathy and embarrassment about sharing our faith. We keep the faith to ourselves and keep it contained within the walls of the church. And that's why when we're challenged by our friends and loved ones about why we are Catholic, we cower like frightened children that pull the covers over their head because they're scared of the dark. And we wonder why, before the pandemic, 69% of Catholics did not believe that Jesus was present, body, blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist. 69% before the pandemic. That means it's worse now. When the culture tries to shove subjective truth down our throats, we worry about being politically correct and hurting people's feelings. And then we wonder why more than half of the people that join the church through RCIA leave after 5 years. when unborn children are slaughtered and marriage and gender are so-called redefined, we remain silent. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. That's too hard. It's too difficult. As long as it doesn't affect me, we turn the other way and we're silent. We keep our mouths shut. And then we wonder why the median age, when a young person decides, makes the intellectual decision, I am no longer Catholic, is 13 years old. They've effectively left the church before they even left your house. And what do we do? We're left standing there going, what? What happened, my son? He doesn't practice the faith anymore. I don't understand. He went to Catholic school. He got confirmed. He was in youth group. He went to Mass with us every Sunday. I don't know what happened. Well, so many of our young people are fans of Jesus and not followers. They say that Mass is boring because they have no idea why they're there. They're there because we drag them there every Sunday. But there's a serious disconnect between the faith and their everyday lived experience. My friends, it's not enough just to believe in God. We must believe God. It continues, with some of the vessels of the house of God, he, Nebuchadnezzar, brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. So King Nebuchadnezzar took what belonged to the true God, the sacred vessels that were used in the worship of the Lord, and offered it to the false gods. So these vessels that were once meaningful have now become meaningless. So what else in our culture that used to mean something has now become meaningless? Well, disdain for the human person created in the image and likeness of God. So, for example, one thing I did for my son, I took him on guys' night out, right? So, for example, my daughters, people keep asking me, oh, your children, you know, are they married yet? You know, I got a daughter 25 and 23 and twins that are 20, and one of them's a girl. So three girls. Are they married yet? Nope. Why? Because their first dates were with me. When I took them, when I took them on a date, you know, because when they turned 16, I said, I'm going to take them on a date because I want them to see how to be treated by a man, not a boy, by a man. So we dressed up, took them to a nice dinner, flowers, the car door, treat them like women, like queens, huh? Because the culture, the bar starts here. Well, don't really hurt them. Don't really hit them. This is stupid. Like that stupid Gillette commercial, best the man can get. What is that? I want the bar to start here. Don't settle for anything less than this. And that's why they ain't married yet. They're still waiting. Huh? And that's good. Now, with my son, I took him on guys' night out. So what is guys' night out? Now, I didn't have a good relationship with my father at all. In fact, I think the last time I was here, I talked about my dad. I didn't speak to him for 18 years. You know, at one point, we had a really terrible relationship. So I never had a model of how I was supposed to be a father to my son. And so I invented guys' night out. So basically, what I would do is when he turned 13, I would take him out, and we'd have, you know, go to dinner, like chicken wings and fries or something like that, and we'd talk about stuff. Now, at first, it was like, you got enough underwear, son? Yeah. He's the only boy, right? You know, so. And son, you know, there's this stuff called deodorant. You probably should start using it now because you're humming a little bit, buddy, you know. And but then as he got older, you know, the conversations turned to, son, they're trying to tell you that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. That's a lie, son. Let me tell you the truth. Son, they're trying to tell you that marriage is something else other than a man and a woman. That's a lie, son. Let me tell you the truth. Son, they're trying to tell you that old people are worthless. When you're old and you're sick, you're a burden on your family, you're a burden on the healthcare system, you're a burden on society. We'll give you two choices. We'll kill you, euthanasia, or we'll give you medication to kill yourself, assisted suicide. That's a lie, son. Let me tell you the truth. And so we'd have these conversations. Now, why did I do that? Because I don't want my son learning about life from some YouTube influencer or from some TikToker or some Instagrammer. I want him to be able to be comfortable coming to his father to talk about difficult issues. And I did it over dinner.
Talking about the Beatitudes as a roadmap to holiness, and it's live from the Steubenville Conference as Deacon Harold continues to bring his dynamic moments. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue this topic on today's special edition of Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hi, I'm Ace McKay. Glad to bring you a very special edition of Beacon of Truth today as Deacon Harold travels. We are at Steubenville Conference in the midst of the Beatitudes as a roadmap to holiness. So we'll definitely dive into more of this topic today. But I do want to remind you that when you get some time, make sure you jump at EWTN.com if you're looking for gift ideas, maybe some things to add to the decor around your home or your room. Here's the cool part. We've got the Tiffany Holy Spirit stained glass. This is a very beautiful replica that comes boxed with a chain for hanging as a authentic stand as a part of the tabletop display that you can show to your friends, not only in the midst of your own faith, but it's also a Louis Comfort Tiffany entitled The Holy Spirit Window. So find out more about this at EWTNRC.com. Remember, online orders, $75 or more, give you that free shipping when you use the code FREE at checkout. As we head into the Beatitudes as a roadmap to holiness, we're at the Steubenville Conference with today's Beacon of Truth.
It's just conversation. I'm not grilling them. I'm not beating them over the head with a catechism. We're sitting down, we're eating, and we're having a conversation. You got a chance to ask questions, even uncomfortable ones. I was there for him to answer them. And then after we finish, we go see Thor or the Avengers or Black Panther, because we're men. One time we went to the movies. After God, you know, part of God and I went to the movie, and we walked in, and there was a guy in there that had devil horns coming out of his head. He had his eyebrows protruding out like an inch and a half from his forehead. His jawline was cutting. He had fangs like a vampire. And I'm like, oh, this must be a new movie, must be premiering here. And he's like dressed up to play, you know, to advertise the movie. He had himself surgically altered to look like a demon. And I'm like, oh, wow, here we go. Same thing, like if you want to get a tattoo, whatever. I mean, I've seen people go to the Holy Land and get those Holy Land. That's fine. But when you cover your whole body with tattoos, you can't even tell what color you are. Why do people do that? See, here's the thing. When you don't have God in your life, You're going to try to find meaning in your life by doing something. Some people cover their whole bodies with tattoos. Now, I was at the gym, and there was a guy that walked in that was covered, even had some on his neck and everything. So I went up to him and said, hey, that's some interesting ink you have on your body there. What does that mean? So he was more than happy to explain, like, when this certain thing happened in his life, he got a tattoo to remind himself and this. And there was one on his arm with a name. It was his sister who was killed in a car accident. And so he wanted to remember his sister by tattooing her name on his arm. And I said, wow, that's pretty cool, but I wouldn't do that. He said, really, what would you do? I said, well, if it were my sister, I'd go to the local college, university. I'd talk to them and start a scholarship fund. I'd go to my parish or maybe like go to one of those fundraising website things. I raised money for a scholarship for a needy student in her name. Why would I do that? Simply this. When my mother dies, my father dies, when I die, you know, when you die, your sister's name is going to rot in the ground with your arm. No one's going to remember her. With this scholarship fund, everyone's going to remember her. And her name is always going to be associated with someone who helped someone else and gave them an opportunity that they wouldn't have had before. That's a legacy that's going to last long past you and your parents. He said, wow, I never thought about it like that. I said, yeah, man, think about that. Bye. You know? The human body has been transformed into an object of pleasure and commerce. Pornography and human trafficking. You know, we spend $3,000 a second on pornography in this country. $3,000 every second of every day. And that fuels human trafficking, a multi-billion dollar industry. The exploitation of young girls and boys. Now, when I was in law enforcement, I talked to women who came out of human trafficking. Their stories were horrific. The things that were done to them. Now, why is human trafficking so popular? Think about it. Even drug dealers now are moving from dealing drugs to human trafficking. Think about it. You sell a drug, that drug is gone. You sell, in order to sell, you have to get more drug and sell it, get another drug and sell it. With a woman, sell her again and again and again and again. You're making all kinds of money every day, 5, 6, 8, 10 times a day. She's a commodity. She's a thing. She's a non-person. But that's what happens in our culture today when we don't see the image and likeness of God in the person standing in front of us. I already talked about embryonic stem cells, in vitro fertilization, so-called redefinition of marriage. And notice a lot of these things are assaults on women. Now, why is that? In Genesis chapter 3, no, why does Satan go after the woman first? You know, we know that the man and the woman are both created in God's image and likeness. He goes after the woman first, although she's created last. Notice that in the order of creation in Genesis 1, right? You have all well, we don't have time to go through Jewish cosmology, but they have the universe and then male and female. So she's not created second, she's created last. Genesis 2, the man, and then all the animals, then the woman from his side, last, not second. Why last? Very simply this. God saved his best work for last. Okay? I know, I'm not just saying that to appease the women, okay? Here's the deal. Women have a special intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Right? Every Sunday we pray, Credo Espiritu Sancto Dominum et Vivificantem. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of. And a woman participates in the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit in a way that we men can't. So every woman, by the very nature of how God created her, is a life giver and a life bearer. Even if she never has a child, she becomes like the sister sitting back here. You know, like, look, like, first of all, look at the sisters side there. First of all, look how beautiful they are. Stand up for a second, sisters. Let me show, hold on. Let me show you something. Look, stay standing for a second. Let me show you something. Look how they're dressed. Why are they wearing a habit? Right? Revelation 19, verse 9. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, where Christ, the eternal bridegroom, will give love, life, intimacy, and communion to his bride, the church, forever in heaven. Earthly marriage anticipates that, and so does being a sister. What they're wearing is their wedding dress. So when we see them in their habit, we are seeing the heavenly expression on earth of the bride of Christ, the church. Huh? Beautiful. Thank you. And that's why Satan goes after the woman first. He's the author of death. So he goes after the one who gives life. That's why he goes. Not because, well, she's weaker than he is. Wrong. The one who is the author of death goes after the one who gives life. Look at all these attacks in our culture today. Why is Satan doing this? Very simple. He's trying to destroy one of the most creative forces in the entire universe, motherhood. It continues. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel. Really, who are these some? Youths, without blemish, handsome and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, and learning, and teach them the letters and the language of the Chaldeans. So Nebuchadnezzar begins the process of brainwashing the best and the brightest of Israel's youth. You can't tell me that in our culture today, they are not trying to brainwash our young people. They're being indoctrinated into the secular culture. Look, look. And how they're doing it is happening in two ways. Digital and mobile phones, social media, and video games. Now, in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with any of those. But when that becomes your life, then it becomes your God, and then it becomes your problem. For example, teenagers crave silence. But they don't know how to be silent because they're constantly surrounded by noise and distractions. Like, for example, my wife. I don't walk around my house with my phone in my hand because I'm home. I leave it in the office. I might be going down to the kitchen, might be doing something. My wife's like, she comes home, where were you? I was texting you. My phone's in the office. How come you didn't look at it? Because I'm not in my office. Some teenagers, right, we go taking them adoration, they're like a little bit freaked out at first. Because they're like, what? I mean, I can't have my phone in my hand for an hour? I promise you, your hand will not fall off if it's separated from your phone. I promise you. But once they get an adoration, then they begin to get it. We think, oh, they're not ready for adoration. Oh, yes, they are, because that's where God speaks to them in the depths of their heart. And why is adoration so important? Because you can pray anywhere. You can pray right now. You can pray in your car. You can pray in your house. Why does praying before our Lord in adoration, and why is always that piece such a powerful part of the Steubenville Conference experience? Why is that? Very simply this. I was just overseas. I spent 3 weeks on a tour in New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, and Australia. And when I was gone, I called my wife. But often I like to FaceTime or Skype so I could see her when I talk to her. But I'd rather be with her. Isn't it always better to be in the presence of the person that you love when you're talking to them? That's what adoration is. We say, Jesus, I love you. You're the center and the heart of my life. But we don't want to spend any time with them.
Pausing in our dynamic moments with Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers live at the Steubenville Conference, talking about the Beatitudes as a roadmap to holiness. I am Ace McKay. We're going to take a quick break and return with this topic as we talk more about the Beatitudes with Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers on today's special edition of Beacon of Truth.
Welcome back to Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers.
And it is a very special edition of Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers. I am Ace McKay, bringing you some of his live moments. When he has a moment to travel or he's just caught up in the airport, we like to be able to take you into some of these great teachings that he's doing at his live events that you do not want to miss. So make your time and set your appointments when you check his calendar at deaconherald.com. But before we dive back into today's topic from the Steubenville Conference, I want to let you know about cathedrals across America. Matter of fact, this Wednesday, you get to be a part of a very special ceremony as Bishop Designed Father Michael Martin is actually going to be installed as the fifth bishop of Charlotte at St. Mark Catholic Church in Huntersville. So if you want to be a part of this, he's been serving as the pastor at St. Philip's in Jonesboro, Georgia. It's happening Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio Essentials and EWTN TV. That's Cathedrals Across America happening this Wednesday with EWTN. Now we're going to continue with today's special edition of Beacon of Truth, talking about the Beatitudes as a roadmap to holiness at the Steubenville Conference with Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers on today's Beacon of Truth.
Yeah, we heard the talk yesterday. Dr. Shree said, well, one of the excuses for praying, well, we don't have time. I've been translating some words for you today. Let me translate, I don't have time. I don't have time means it's not important to me. Because whatever else you're doing, instead of praying, that's what's important to you. Stop kidding yourself. Oh, we all have time. And young people, they want to listen to God speaking in their hearts. But God speaks to us in what's called, what St. Benedict called the aurum cordis, the ear of the heart. Not here, here. But video games, social media, cell phones, they all become distractions. And that's what the devil, I'm not saying that they're from the devil, not demonic. I'm saying when you become so overwhelmed by the tech and it become not just a tool, but becomes your life, that's when it's a problem. That's what Satan's saying. Don't listen to God. Listen to what this says instead. That's a problem. So many young people being caught up in that. So that's one way they're being brainwashed. What's the other way? The Babylonian system is called 16 years of education, 8 years of grade school, 4 years of high school, 4 years of college. Now, educational institutions are supposed to be places that teach young people how to think, but they've become places that teach young people what to think. Many of our young people cannot think for themselves because they're being brainwashed, even in Catholic schools. That's what I don't understand. Why would you send your kid to Catholic school when they're not teaching the Catholic faith? They got to understand, I am a product of Catholic education. My mom, single mom raising us, she was a cardiac care nurse. She worked graveyard shift. She worked overtime to make sure she made enough money to send us kids to Catholic school. She was very committed to Catholic education. Catholic grade school, high school, college, and graduate school, all at Catholic institutions. So I'm a proponent of Catholic education. But here's the thing. If they're not teaching the Catholic faith, don't send them there. Because look, why? And it hurts my heart to have to say that. But here's the reality. All you're paying for is a very expensive public school. Think about this for a second. I've been to 31 countries, including Muslim countries under Sharia law. Do you think that if you decide to send your kid to a Muslim school and enough Christians started sending their kids there, they would say, oh, wait a minute. The Christians are coming now. Let's stop praying the Quran. Let's stop praying five times a day. Let's dumb down our faith because the Christians are here. They won't do that. You think the Protestants would dumb down their faith when a bunch of Catholics start showing up to their schools? They won't do that. Why do we do it? I don't understand that. Why do we do it? I was just in Australia. They're having huge issues in their Catholic schools. Part of the reason is because they take money from the government. Now, if they don't do that, the Catholic schools will cost twice as much, right? So they, but when you take the 30 pieces of silver, you're gonna have problems. right now in my archdiocese, my Archbishop Alexander Sample, an outstanding leader in our archdiocese, is getting hammered by the media because he put out a very clear, very beautiful, very pastoral, very well-written document on transgender and kids in school. Beautiful document. And he's getting hammered. Why? Because teachers are leaving and people are pulling their kids out of school. His response is, bye. If we don't stand up against this culture, they're going to continue to run roughshod over us. At some point, we have to say enough is enough. Young children as young as 5 years old are being desensitized and exposed to transgender ideology. In many school systems, in kindergarten and first grade, they're teaching the gender unicorn. If you don't believe me, I saw a presentation, Ryan Anderson, who's the head of the Ethics and Public Policy Think Tank in Washington, D.C., who Noel is working with them now. I did a presentation in Orlando with Ryan, and my jaw hit the ground when I saw his presentation about what they're teaching in schools now. In fact, I took pictures of it on my phone from his PowerPoint presentations. I said, this can't be real. And I found out, oh, it's very real. They're being indoctrinated into this as young as 5 years old. Then, see, notice what Nebuchadnezzar's doing. He keeps ramping it up, right? Because what happens? I'll do this. Yeah, they may get a little bit upset, but they'll get used to it. Then I'll ramp it up a little bit. Oh, they're going to be upset. Oh, but they'll get used to it. Now he ramps it up again. Among these, the young men that he was brainwashing, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief eunuch gave them names. Daniel became Belteshazzar. Hananiah became Shadrach. Mishael became Meshach. And Azariah became Abednego. Why? He changed their names. Why? When you change your name, you change your identity. Doesn't that sound familiar? This is like 3,000 years ago. And look at the parallels now. Change your name, change your identity. Now, why did he change their names? Those young men had godly names, right? Now think, all those names in the Bible mean something, by the way. For example, let's take the archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. The El at the end of their names are short for Elohim, which is one of the spoken names of God. So Michael or Michael means who is like God. Gabriel means the strength of God. Raphael means the remedy of God. So take these guys' names. Daniel means God is judge. Mishael is the same thing as Mikael, who is like God. Hananiah and Azariah, the IAH at the end of their names is short for Yahweh. You can't say the name Yahweh, so you have to put parts of it, like the tetragrammaton type of thing. So that's what they did at the end of their name. So Hananiah means God protects, and Azariah means God will help. Beautiful, godly names. But he changed their names to the names of pagan Chaldean gods because he wants to change their identity. So what's being redefined? Oh, let's talk about names, for example. You know what I noticed when I was home during the pandemic? Like I said, I don't watch a lot of television, but I admit, during the pandemic, I watched a little more television than I would normally watch. And I noticed two things. I don't know why I didn't pick up on this before from television. First of all, there are tons of shows about vampires and zombies. You ever notice that? I'm like every time, Walking Dead, Waking Dead, Living Dead, this zombie this, and then vampire, Twilight, Traffic Light, Stop Light. I don't know, like, oh. I'm like, what? Why are we so obsessed with these malevolent creatures of folklore and legend? Then it hit me. What do vampires and zombies have in common? They're dead, but yet they're alive, huh? Now, what's a vampire that's dead have to do to stay alive? Drink blood. What's a zombie that's dead have to do to stay alive? Eat flesh. See, what we're craving is flesh and blood. But because we don't know who's in the tabernacle, because we don't know who's in the monster of the adoration, because we don't know what's happening at that altar, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and there's no connection between what happens at Mass and the everyday lived experience, our young people are trying to find flesh and blood in creatures that are dead, that can't give them nothing except take their money. When for free, and why is it free? He already paid the price. They can come to the altar of the living God and receive the true flesh and blood of Jesus that will give them life forever. Vampires and zombies? Vampires and zombies make believe. What happens at the altar at every Mass is the really real. That's the first thing I noticed. The second thing is this. I don't know why I didn't see this before. You ever notice when they curse God, it's always Jesus. Why is it always Jesus? Even this warped, twisted, perverted, depraved generation knows who the real God is. And that's the God that they mock. That's the God that they ridicule. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God whose name is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend. In the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. So, what is your name? Because it's not just about your name. You have to ask yourself, what is my divine identity? Who am I in God? Now, what do I mean by that? Some people, for example, say to me, Deacon, you're a black Catholic. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm a Catholic who's black. What do you mean? You're denying your black identity? No, because when I die and stand before Almighty God to be judged, he's not going to ask me how black I am. Did you pick up your cross and follow me? I gave you talents. Where's my 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold return on the investment I made in you? My identity has nothing to do with my skin color or my race. My identity is a loyal son of the living God. That is my identity. Sometimes I meet Hispanic men or sometimes some Asian men and they treat their women a certain way. And you don't understand our culture. May not understand your culture. I understand the Bible. I understand Ephesians chapter 5, husbands love, Ephesians 5:25, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ show his love for the church? He died for her. He gave his life for her. That transcends culture. No excuses. Yet now, I was born in Barbados. I love my Caribbean heritage. I love our food. I love our culture. I love our music. I still speak our dialect. I love everything about being black. I thank God I'm black every day. But that is not who I am. I am a child of God first. That is who I am. So what is our divine identity? As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. My identity is we must obey God rather than men. That's who we are. Then Daniel said, okay, look, you want to send me to your schools? Fine. I'll take your money. I'll take a little job you're going to give me in the kingdom. That's fine. But when they told that we're going to change what you eat, he said, oh, no. Hard stop. I'm not doing that. So he accepted, okay, well, I'll do these other things, but I will not put in my body what pollutes and makes me unclean. That's where he drew the line. He will not defile himself by drinking the culture of the Kool-Aid of the culture. That's where he drew the line. So you got to ask yourself, where are we going to draw the line? When are we going to look this culture in the face and say, enough? I'll give you an example. Oregon. The governor tried to make the mask mandate permanent. Oh, yeah. Remember? Land of the fruits and the nuts. The governor tried to make the mask mandate permanent. The Catholics said, oh, no. Protestants, oh, we with you. Muslims, we with you. We stood up and say, no, we push back. And her own party said, okay, no, we ain't gonna do that. And they backed down because we stood up. Imagine if more of us stood up against what's going on in the culture. They would have no choice. And we're gonna see that in spades at the end of this talk. Now, as for the four youths, God gave them learning and skill and letters and all wisdom. So even though they were in the midst of all of this going on, God was still with them. The Spirit of God was still with them. And sometimes we have to remember that no matter what's going on around us, we still can cooperate with the grace of the sacraments. The power of the sacraments is when we respond by saying yes to the grace that God wants to do in our lives through those sacraments. Those sacraments empower us to live our faith with passion and conviction. We have the saints and the examples of the saints. We have incredible, amazing podcasts, all kinds of ways to learn about our faith. There's no excuse. Yes, in the midst of the culture, everything going on, it's a time for us to grow in our faith. What I like to do is fill what I call gap time. Those gaps and spaces in your day, what are you filling them with? So, for example, how many of you drive in your car every day, like 10 minutes, 20 minutes in your car? Oh, a lot of us. Wonderful. What are you listening to? Hopefully not political talk radio. All those people just, all the time. No. How about this instead? You know what? Someone was asking me, a friend at work was asking about indulgences. Isn't that the thing that Martin Luther got all upset about? And didn't the church sell indulgences? Which it never did, by the way. That's a myth. But, you know, I should probably learn a little bit more about that. So what about listening to something on Catholic radio, or putting in a USB in your car and listening to some Catholic teaching? Spend that 15 to 20 minutes learning something about the faith you didn't know before. I do that all the time. I have a ton of podcasts. I'm listening to Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year too, right? Why? I'm on planes every week. Right? And again, listen to the announcer, put your tray table up again and again and again. I'm listening. You know what I'm realizing? The more I learn, the more I realize how much I don't know. There's so much to learn and grow from our beautiful Catholic faith. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar, here we go. Remember, every time he does something, he ramps it up. Here we go. Now, he wants to finish it off. I've brainwashed you. I changed your names. I'm forcing my teachings into your bodies, down your throats. Now I'm going to finish you off. I'm going to create a golden image. And I'm going to walk through every Israelite town. And all of you will bow down before this golden image. If you don't, I'm going to burn you alive. And so what did they do? they bow down, huh? Just like a lot of us Catholics today are bowing down to what's going on in the culture today. So here's what he says. He finds out the three young men, because Daniel's already working in the court, these other three young men, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, were put out in separate different cities, and they found out that they refused to bow down to the golden image. So Nebuchadnezzar says this, "If you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" You hear what he's doing? Nebuchadnezzar is basically saying, "I'm your daddy now. I'm your God. What God is going to save you from me?" He's calling them out. He's putting himself equal to God. And I love these three guys. Look at their answer to Nebuchadnezzar. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hands. Nebuchadnezzar, we have a God, the one God, the God who can save. And we believe with all our heart, if we are faithful, he will save us." Then they add this, "But if not," in other words, even if the God that we know can save, if his holy will that we will die, "be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Even if it costs us our lives, we will not give in." Nebuchadnezzar's trying to cancel them. He's trying to deplatform them, right? He's basically acting like the Borg. Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. In the midst of the flames, they were praising and honoring God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in the midst of the flames that we find ourselves in today, are we honoring God? Or are we whining and complaining? How come the bishops aren't doing this? How come the Pope's not doing this? How come that? What are we whining about? Or are we praising God? Yes, there's problems in your marriage. Your children may be turning away from the faith to atheism. They're confused about their identity and their gender. We're continually giving in to temptations of the flesh. What are we doing in the midst of those flames? We have to honor God. I've stopped listening to podcasts where Catholics, all they do is whine and complain about problems in the church. When I ask myself, when is the last time that this person actually spoke about a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? We got to stay focused on who we are in Christ. That's how we witness to the power of in the midst of this culture today. So the three young men, they're not burning. So Nebuchadnezzar says, "Dudes, come out." So they came out. Not only did they, were they not had any signs that they were even in the fire, they didn't even smell like they were in the flames. Now, come on now. You've all been camping, or you got the barbecue. You know, you smell that steak and your clothes smell like steak. You're like, Come on now. They didn't even smell like that. So check this out. Now watch Nebuchadnezzar. When he saw the courage of these young men, what did that do to Nebuchadnezzar's heart? Check him out now. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set at naught the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn from limb to limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God."
continuing his dynamic moments live and on the road. Remember, deaconharold.com can get you his latest schedule so you don't miss out on a chance to see him in person. But a very great topic today on the Beatitudes as a roadmap to holiness from the Steubenville Conference, and continuing more of these in the coming weeks. So make sure you check us out as you continue to podcast, whether it is this show or our sister podcast, Soulful Psalms. Just simply search through the EWTN Radio app or wherever you like to stream your favorite podcast. I'm Ace McKay. Heading out. Remember to let God define who you are. We'll see you again on Beacon of Truth.